السلام عليكم.
And welcome to another edition of Mind, Body and Chow. In a few seconds time, we'll be joined by Ronald talking about fad diets, blood diets, real food diets. All of that, inshallah, will be coming up after the live workout on the verbal fitness sessions. Then at about a quarter to two, inshallah, we'll be joined by life coach Sumaya Kuvadia. And we'll be talking about all things in teen world and how, you know, kids are always looking for thrills and seeking thrills. And how you as a parent can be part of this and, you know, you can create a bond with your kids doing some of these adventurous things. And basically we're trying to understand the mind of a teenager. It's very interesting, and that coming up inshallah at about a quarter to two. Ronald will be joining us in a few seconds time, in about a minute or so inshallah. So remember, if you want to send any of your questions or anything you want to share with us regards to the diets, you can do so and SMS 48855. You can WhatsApp 0727861548. Twitter is also an option. You can tweet me at EJAZ_K. Also, if email is something that you want to, you know, you're more comfortable with, you can email EJAZ@radioislam.co.za. And Ronald will be on with us, inshallah, for the live workout in a few seconds' time. And we'll take it from there. For now, you can enjoy our nasheed as we wait for Ronald, as he's warming up somewhere for the workout. You can do so also, get your stretches done and all of that before we head into the live workout on verbal fitness sessions here on Mind, Body and Chow.
سبيل الدموع سبيل مريح تنهد يا صاحي كي تستريح وبث الدعاء الخفي الصريح يسعك الفضاء الرحيم الفسيح سبيل الدموع سبيل مريح تنهد هدايا صاحي كي تستريح وبث الدعاء الخفي الصريح يسعك الفضاء.
Don't be, it's time for verbal fitness sessions on Mind, Body and Chow.
Yes, indeed, it's time for the verbal fitness sessions with Ronald Evergy. He joins us on the line right now. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Ronald.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Hi, brother Jaza, you well?
Hey, alhamdulillah, I'm doing well. Your side?
I have an audience here. We're in the middle of a meeting and they're also going to get fit with us. And the lucky thing is they're already fit people here.
Yeah, alhamdulillah. That's going to be brilliant. We look forward to entertaining them as well as our listeners. Before we head into that diet discussion, let's go for the workout, Ronald.
All right, very simple today. Today's workout is focused again on the lower body. So what we're going to do is we're going to aim to activate those big muscle groups that many people tend to fixate on, especially our ladies out there. So we're targeting saddlebags, we're targeting the thighs, we're targeting the bums, we're targeting the hamstrings. So today's workout is going to be based on a warm-up and a very few strength training exercises. Now remember, you don't need a gym to get fit and healthy. If you can go, great. If you can't, your body is your gym. So use what you have around you, from tables and chairs to your couches, even mopping. Can you believe it will help you get fit and healthy? So let's get into the workout. First things first, all I want the ladies to do and the gents out there to do is to do what I call foot shuffles. So right foot forward, back, left foot back, and I want you to shuffle the feet backwards and forwards as though you're trying to warm your feet up on a carpet. So they're called foot shuffles, and as you're doing the foot shuffles, I want you to alternate your arms up and down as well. Alright? So keep going, and this warms up the lower body and the upper body. And remember, the warm-up is there to prepare the body for the workout ahead. We want to minimize injury and maximize the effect on the body. So keep it going. Warm up, warm up, warm up. This shuffling exercise you do for 60 seconds. Don't stop. And if you're out of breath, take a short breather and then continue with the workout ahead. Are you doing it, brother?
I'm doing it, and the engineer, Mohammed Salim, is having a good laugh here.
Tell Mohammed Salim, you better do it as well.
Yeah, stand up, stand up.
All right, next exercise. Very simple. Your favorite one is, of course, the squat. But I want you to bring in variations to the squat. Okay? Remember, we are conscious of knee aches and knee pains. But more importantly, when you do a strength exercise, your technique is more important than the number of repetitions that you do. If you do the technique correctly and you begin to vary the technique. So what I want people to do is I want them to imagine that they're going to sit on their couches or their chairs. Now, if people come and they complain to me and they say, Ronald, I can't do these squat exercises because my knee is sore and I have knee ache, I ask them, how do they go to the toilet?
Good question.
Because they can't do it standing up. So this is where the mindset comes into play. You need to break barriers and overcome excuses and that you justify as reasons. So feet wider than shoulder width apart. Angle your toes out at 45 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
And I want you to slowly, from a standing position, drop your body 1 inch at a time. And remember, you're not going to drop your buttock below your knee, so you're not going to go below 90 degrees at the knee joint. I want you to keep it up slightly. And when you get to the point where your bum is just about to touch the couch or the chair, you're going to hold it just there, keeping your back upright and hands in front of you. Are you there, Brother Judge?
I am, indeed. We used to do this, yeah. Golden chair when we were naughty in school, yeah.
Well, that's another acronym called the golden chair. So there you go. In our instance, the gold price is down, so we call it the platinum chair.
Okay.
So hold it there. Now, from that position, what I want you to do is punch out in front of you as fast as you can. Elbows as far back as you can. Hands as far forward as you can, making a tight fist. For the older people out there, this helps you especially create blood flow in between the joints, in the fingers and the wrist, and you're forcing the tendons and the ligaments to work as well. So punch, 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 punch. Don't stop. Keep it going. Keep it going. Don't stop. Now, you do that punching for 30 seconds, holding the leg position, holding the golden squat position. Now you punch over your head for another 30 seconds. It's above the head and working the shoulder area as well. And then you punch down towards the ground, and that's working the trapezius muscle, which is between the neck and the shoulder. Now, what this does is it helps anyone that's got a lot of stress in that area to begin to break it down constructively and gives you a good cardio workout and strength workout. And by doing one strength exercise, you find that the legs begin to burn.
Yes.
You find the cardio begins to increase your metabolism, helps you look after your cardiovascular health.
Indeed.
And improve your energy overall. And that's how simple today's workout is.
Simple yet effective.
Without a doubt. Remember, we're aiming for efficiency. And that's why I explained to you earlier, technique is often more important than the number of reps. Because if you do the correct technique and you maintain your reps with fewer reps but maintain the right technique, you will have more benefit from the exercise.
Brilliant stuff, Ronald, and I'm just catching my breath here. That was a good one. And today we're going to be discussing diets, right? Diets. What are some of the fair diets that are in right now and who's following them?
You know, a lot of people follow diets. You know, I call a diet means to have a diet and diet. So people want to eat anything and everything. And more often than not, you find that people follow a diet when they find out something is wrong, either medically or they find that they're out of weight and they really want to begin to lose weight. So more often than not, people are on weight loss diets and trends. So the common fad ones that are out there are the following, the supplement diets. People are popping supplements, pills, powders, and potions as supplementation for food to justify that, no, they're still having some sort of calories, but they're having it liquidized, and they're popping pills and potions. That's one diet. The second diet is the liquidizing diet. So they liquidize absolutely anything and everything. Can you imagine eating your mutton biryani liquidized from a blender?
No.
And people are actually doing this because they say that way to assist them with the digestion, etc. All that does is increase your frequency on the toilet and decrease the nutrient deficiency of the food. The body will not begin to digest that, especially giving you colon problems as you go through.
Brilliant. And
so yeah, those are two of the common ones that are out there. And would you believe some people are even on the all-fruit or all-water diet? Hmm. And many people have died from having this all-water diet, where they just have water for 2 or 3 days without food. Are you going to lose weight? Yes, you are. Are you losing healthy weight? No, you're not. Are you drowning your organs internally because you're having too much water? Yes, you are. And you're risking other hypertensive issues because there's a very, 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 very strong imbalance between your salt and your sodium, which is the salt in the body, your potassium, and, of course, your water.
Right. I see you've got a message on WhatsApp. Says, nice program, Jazz. Enjoying it a lot. She says, 4 months ago, I did a hormone reset and detox diet for a week. She lost 4 kilograms and haven't put the weight back. And best of all, I don't crave sweet things anymore. No chocolate cakes. Shame, man. I have, but I don't really enjoy anymore. My hormones are balanced. Alhamdulillah. I eat and taste baking stuff, but I don't enjoy them anymore. This is from one of our listeners.
You know, that's great feedback to get from them. Now, remember, when you look at food, there's two things we look at, especially on with new technology. So, yes, there are hormone deficiencies, and you look at different types of hormones, your thyroxine, your thyroid gland, etc. And many people will gain weight because there's an imbalance in their particular hormone. So when they do get hormone replacement, please go to an endocrinologist rather than a normal GP and get a proper blood test done to identify which hormones they are imbalanced, especially when it comes to your thyroid gland, because that is very indicative of weight. The second thing that they look at is that for many women that go through hormone replacement therapy, there's estrogen and progesterone. Now, remember, we spoke about that last week.
Yes.
That could also cause water retention fluctuations, weight fluctuations, etc., because it affects one's overall metabolism. So if you have that and it has worked for you, alhamdulillah, congratulations, keep it going. But for most people out there, they can't afford that. The lifestyle adaptations we have to make are becoming more and more important for us. And the reason why the sister can now taste food better is because she's literally cut out the nonsense from her diet.
Hmm.
When you cut out overeating on sugar, overeating on salt, and really loading your body with these preservative-like foods, you begin to dampen your taste sensation. So by cutting that out and literally letting your body go through a cleansing phase over a long period of time, you increase the ability of the taste buds to do what they call function is, to taste food. When you taste food, you enjoy it more. You decrease your appetite, so you don't tend to eat as much as what you normally tend to do because you're enjoying the flavor of the food more, whereas before, to become satisfied with the food, you'd be able to eat a lot more and keep on eating. That's why a lot of our uncles and aunties out there are hiding their books and their stomachs under the abayas and the kuttas.
A brother here saying that he was on the fruits diet, but he was getting the shakes, you know, after 3 days. He says his body was shaking. What was happening there?
You know, when you're taking the fruit diet only, you're looking at this, yes, there is sugar in there, yes, it is a type of a carbohydrate, non-starchy ones, etc. But you need to get a full balance of your nutrients and your food sources in. You've got to get the right carbohydrates, you've got to get proteins and fats, etc. So by having the fruit diet, either liquidizing it or chewing it, yes, you're going to create for the first day or so a lovely, in inverted commas, detox phase, which I personally don't agree with. But over time, by cutting out other nutrients, your body begins to crave them and you will begin to shake. You're not having the right proteins, you're not having the right essential fats. So your body will go into a withdrawal symptom and you will begin to shake. Will you lose weight? Yes, you will. But remember, there's a difference between losing muscle and the difference between losing fat. It's more difficult to lose fat. It's easy to lose muscle. You just cut out foods. So don't let the scale be the only indicator of weight loss. But that brother, please follow a balanced diet rather.
All right, you're going to like this one. Ronald says, phew. That workout was great, they say. Jazakallah khair. So there, you like that feedback in regards to the workout.
Great.
It was hard.
Let's just enjoy the workout. That's good.
Right, yeah, another one. What's your opinion on the Banting diet?
Oh, my opinion on the Banting diet. You know what? The Banting diet has got pros and cons. It's not a new thing that's out there. It's an old Atkins diet, and before that, it was done by William Banting, a doctor in 1874. That was when it was first developed. What it basically is that when you look at people with diabetes, it just makes sense because of the cutting out of particular carbohydrates. It's basically a higher protein diet, higher fat diet, but you need to incorporate the right carbohydrates. My opinion is this. In short bout, yes, it could assist you, especially if you're struggling to lose weight, but at the end of the day, it's not a total lifestyle adaptation. And if you want to have rice and biryani, like some people I know, it's okay to have it every now and then, not every day. So find the balance, and remember that the Banting diet literally can affect you medically. I had a discussion yesterday. You saw I was sitting with Lebo Mashir, and some people spoke about that for the Banting diet. It actually put some people in hospital because of the amount of protein that's in their body. It causes ketosis. It's very high risk. At the end of the day, is people are desperate to lose weight, and they'll do anything. Some people have made a lot of money with their diet, but just go back into history and look at what worked for you when you were in shape. Find the balance, right nutrients, portion control, and enjoy your food, but just watch how much you're eating. That's the biggest thing.
Brilliant stuff. And we're getting lots and lots of interactions today. Alhamdulillah, brilliant stuff. Jazakallah khair for all the messages coming through. And someone saying, yeah, Banting is very expensive as well. And Ronald, here's one that's coming that we could maybe tackle tomorrow, inshallah. It says, salams, I constantly suffer from lower back spasms. What exercises can I do to strengthen the area, and how can I treat it when it does happen? Maybe we can take that up tomorrow, inshallah.
Lower back pain will definitely be an issue tomorrow, and especially looking at it as people begin to focus when they have back pain on the back, we're going to show them where they need to actually focus and identify what is wrong with their backs and what they can do to fix it.
Alright, so you'll be back tomorrow, inshallah, Ronald. Jazakallah khair, and thanks to your audience sitting there close to where you are, and we'll pick it up tomorrow, inshallah. Have a good day, bro.
And to you too, my brother. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yes, Ronald Evergy there with the verbal fitness sessions, talking all things diet. And now we'll be moving on to Teen World with Sumaya Kavadia, and she joins us after this.
When life is hard, you know it can get hard sometimes. You are the only one I'll follow till I die. So I will pray.
Yes, indeed, it's time for Teen World now with life coach Sumaya Kavadia. We're talking all things teens and dopamine and dopamine and all of these things. She joins us now on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Sumaya.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi, Jaz.
How are you
doing?
Alhamdulillah, I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing very well.
Brilliant stuff. I'm looking forward to the discussion today. Remember, listeners, you can interact with us. Any questions teen-related, you can send it to 48855. You can WhatsApp 0727861548, or you can tweet at EJAZ_K. Sumaya, first question is, what is dopamine or dopamine?
Yes, that's a very important question, Ijaz, because, you know, dopamine is one of the main chemicals in the brain, but specifically in the adolescent brain. You know, it always comes up. So dopamine is a brain chemical, you know, a neurotransmitter that affects the mood, emotions, movements, motivation, sensations of pain and pleasure. And it has this enormous job of, you know, of basically regulating mood, mm-hmm. behavior, sleep, and cognition. Right? So it's basically that feel-good hormone. That's what dopamine is. And if you look at the, you know, if you look at adolescents, look at teenagers, sometimes they complain about feeling bored. Mm-hmm. Or sometimes you hear them, you know, more often than not, you know, just telling parents that they're bored. Mm-hmm. And the reason for that is that the baseline, that means the resting levels of the dopamine is much lower in response to an activity whereby dopamine is released. So, you know, you see teenagers always want to be on this get-up-and-go kind of vibe and energy.
Yes.
And that is because constantly they need that dopamine fix by doing different kinds of thrilling and exciting activities where, you know, they feel all these sensations of being completely alive. So that, in a nutshell, that's what dopamine is.
Okay. Now, in the adolescent brain, what is the function of dopamine?
Okay, so dopamine has an increased reward, you know, the brain, as an adolescent brain, it has an increased reward drive system during the adolescent period, which is now the dopamine levels, you know, where it rises all the time. And it's due to this activity of dopamine, like I said. And then this neurotransmitter or chemical, because remember we said that dopamine is a chemical or a neurotransmitter,
yes.
right? It's responsible for creating our drive for reward. That's what the brain runs on as a teenager, as an adolescent, is that drive for reward. This is what parents, I think, and adults fail to understand, that that's the reason why our teenagers do sometimes the craziest of things,
yeah.
right? It's that brain that's telling them that they've got to go out for the reward. And because it's so active in an adolescent brain, it makes teens gravitate towards thrill-seeking experiences and exhilarating sensations. You know, as a teenager, you know, Ijaz, we see them so many times doing all of these exciting, fun things. Yes, sometimes, and as, you know, adults and parents should say that most of the time they're engaging in activities that are, you know, it hasn't been fully thought out. It's dangerous, but yet they are doing it. Because that reward drive system only looks at the pros. The cons are something like, you know, I just really don't care. I know what's going to happen, but I don't care because the thrill of the experience is much more interesting than what's the consequences of not doing the action,
Indeed.
Right? And yeah. as you see, you know, teenagers have this mindset. You know, when I speak to them sometimes and they have this mindset of, let's see how many experiences I can get in during this period of my teen years. So when I get older, I know I'm not going to be able to do it because somehow to them, older people and adults are a little boring. So I'm probably going to fall in that category. So when I'm older, I can look back on all these experiences I did, whether the consequences were good or they were bad. And, you know, the thing is, you know, like I said before, that research even suggests that the baseline levels of dopamine is much lower, but its release in response to experience is much higher, which explains, you know, why teens would say, I am bored and I need to do something else. So when they're doing something that is thrilling, their dopamine level just spikes up.
Indeed. And Sumaya, from one Sumaya to another, Sumaya Mohammed saying on Facebook, she says, every day you are challenged and learn something new. I still look at my budding teens and can scarcely believe that they are who they are. Frankly, I prefer kids in diapers. It's an age that passes way too fast. She says, teens are moody and strong-headed and opinionated and emotional creatures that want to experience the world. They are exactly all the things that we were at that age.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, that's so true. Because, again, if you look at this dopamine, which is so active in a teen's brain, you know, Ijaz, it gives teens that powerful sense of being alive while engaged in life.
Yes.
Right? And it motivates them to move out of the environment and explore. Can you imagine what would happen, you know, if teens didn't have that drive? They wouldn't be doing anything. They'd be just sitting at home and, you know, doing their normal things. And like you said, you know, as they get older, they're no longer children. So as they get older, I guess sometimes they need to get out. You need that little bit of space from them. Now, if they didn't have this whole dopamine system going with them, they wouldn't be doing any of that. But the idea is to try and create the balance. You know, yes, we know as a parent and as an adult that this is what's going on in a teenager's brain. But how do we create the balance between those thrill-seeking, you know, activities like, you know, I keep on going back to, because this is a thing with, you know, with teenagers where they love speed. So how do I stop my teenager from taking a bend at 180 kilometers per hour just for that sake of, you know, of that thrill? And even the idea of dying comes to them, but the idea that, you know what, I didn't die. I actually didn't die. That gives them that whole thrill. How do I change it from that to telling them, okay, let's do something else, because you do love speed in any case. So let's try to do something that is different, and you as a parent engage in that. Imagine if you took something up that was much safer and told your kid, okay, let's do something, I don't know, probably like skydiving, because that's also thrill-seeking behavior.
Bungee jumping, yeah.
You know, bungee jumping, skydiving, let's go skateboarding, or let's get you into doing some kind of, you know, triathlons, Ijaz.
Yes.
I think a lot of teens, if they had to take part in triathlons, they'd not just only win, but it would also, you know, satisfy that urge of theirs of thrill-seeking behavior, being competitive, the speed that's needed in all of that. You know, so maybe it's a good idea for them to think about that.
And they'll be quiet for the rest of the week because they'll be recovering after the triathlon.
Absolutely, and before that they'll be practicing, so there'll be much more quietness.
Right, now Sumaya, a quick question, right? How do parents get involved in this? If your kid is now a thrill-seeking, adventure-seeking person, how do parents, maybe that's where the disconnect is. You know, a parent is maybe sitting and is feeling a bit pop and quiet, and now the son wants to go out on this adventure. How do parents, you know, be able to involve themselves in this thrill-seeking of their kids?
You know, like we said, okay, the first thing is parents need to become aware, and hopefully through the shows, they're becoming aware that a teenager is after thrill-seeking behaviors, those sensation-seeking experiences. And trying to tame that is not the answer, right? You can't tell your teen to stop doing that, because if you as a parent are not going to engage in it, they're going to go out with their peers and do it in a very dangerous manner that might have, you know, very regrettable consequences. So when a parent thinks about that, okay, this is what my teenager needs, let me see how can I sit with them and see what is it that you want to do, you know, for the next week, or what can we do the next weekend? Something, you don't have to do something that's thrilling and exciting every single weekend or every single day, but at least try to include that maybe once a month, do something that is really thrilling, something that is really exciting. You know, like we said about, you know, I don't think adults would actually be interested in the whole bungee jumping thing, Ijaz. But obviously, if, you know, if your son is taking part maybe in athletics, you know, encourage them to become better at it. You can be there with them. For example, you know, children nowadays take part in different sporting activities like soccer, for example. You play soccer.
Yes.
You know, in soccer, if you think about it, Ijaz, you need speed there. Am I correct?
You do, of course.
You can't be somebody that is slow. So another thing that gives them the thrill is speed. So you as a parent, come up with your children together and see, how can we satisfy your need for speed, for excitement, for thrill, and for something that is new? You can't be doing the same thing over and over, because very soon novelty wears off for a teenager. They are not adults. They don't want to be doing the same thing every single day like routine, or every single month like routine. So last month, if you went, you know, if you took your son or your daughter or whatever it is, and you went probably, you know, if you think, give me an example here, Ijaz, what is the thrilling things that parents could do? You know, if you went for hikes.
Yeah, you can go for hikes, or what, that slingshot, what is it called, where you go as a rope across a certain area? I can't remember the name now. It just slipped my mind. It's very exciting. And parents, and you can do the trampoline thingy.
There's lots of things. This is now where parents need to come in and actually put your mind together with your teenager, see what they want to do, and then come up with a safe way of doing it.
Yes. So, man, just to interrupt you, I see a message from Sister Fahima. She's listening right now. She says, can I have a shot of dopamine? I get bored easily, constantly need adventure and spontaneity, and I'm an adult, she says.
Well, that's very true. You know, last week we spoke about the essence of adolescence, Ijaz. And, you know, we said it's emotional spark and the novelty seeking and creative exploration and novelty things. Do something that is different, you know, and that would spark your dopamine levels as well. Yes, because, you know, as adults, sometimes we do need that dopamine boost. And exercising for adults is very good because, you know what, it gets the dopamine levels raised. When you do something that is, you know, something that is different, something that is novel, that you haven't done before, maybe something that you have done, but do it in a different way.
Hmm.
You know, all of that would spark up your dopamine levels as well.
I see someone has given us...
for that.
Perfect. And I see someone has given us zip line. That's it. You see, sometimes it's just on the top of your tongue.
Yes, it's a zip line.
Zip line. That's a lot of fun.
Absolutely, that's the reason we have all of these very creative-minded listeners, Ijaz.
Brilliant. And Sumaya, like the Sister Fahima was saying about this need for spontaneity and fun in adults as well, is there something wrong with us? I'm the same, I think. I need something to stimulate you, to keep you going, you know, and keeping you young. I think this thrill-taking keeps you young, and that's why the youth, you know, they're full of energy and stuff, because they're always seeking all of these thrills, no?
That's very true. And you know what? They basically, you know, in the teen, during this adolescent period, the brain is getting hardwired for things that you're going to do as an adult, right? So if they're not going out and exploring and getting all these exciting sensations and thrill-seeking behaviors, obviously in a very healthy way, you know, when they get older, their brain basically is wired up now for, you know what, for taking those healthy risks. You know, for example, if you put them in a work situation, in a work scenario, they're not going to be those people that are going to be holding back. You know, they're going to say, yes, we're going to take calculated risks, and obviously now we're adults, so we are looking at this risk from all angles, and we're seeing that, you know what, risk-taking behavior at times is something that gets me to the next level, provided I have covered all my angles. So it's calculated risks that are healthy.
So in 30 or so seconds, why are teens and some of us adults so vulnerable to addictions?
You know, that is very good, Ijaz, because all behaviors and substances that are addictive involve the release of dopamine. That's the idea, right? So when you see the addictive behaviors, you know, like drugs that, you know, teenagers go to, or even the food, inshallah, we're going to talk about the drug addiction at, you know, at another time, but just very quickly. You know, the food that we do, the comfort eating as well that we do, that releases dopamine. That's why people feel good after eating. You know, I'm talking of comfort eating, not just eating now because it's breakfast, lunch, and supper. You know, eating when you're feeling bad, your dopamine levels need to spike a little, you go for comfort food. That is an addictive behavior. Any form of addictive behavior releases dopamine in the system.
Okay, brilliant. And this discussion was so interesting, and time has once again flew by, and we'll have to pick it up inshallah next week, but it's been fascinating speaking. Sumaya, jazakallah khair for another edition of Teen World. We'll pick it up next week inshallah. You have yourself a wonderful day.
Jazakallah so much, Ijaz, and same to you.
Okay then, assalamu alaikum. And that was Sumaya Kuvaria joining us for the Teen World here on Mind, Body and Chow, which brings us to the close of the program. Jazakallah khair for all the interactions. We love it when you send stuff through. We love to be able to give you answers immediately, and that is the point of the interaction in this program. So keep interacting with us all the time, anytime, and we'll pick it up inshallah tomorrow as we... for another installment of Mind, Body and Chow. We know you've enjoyed today, and you will so inshallah tomorrow as well. So from myself, Ijaz Khan, and my engineer, Salim, it's...
Assalamu alaikum. سبيل الدموع سبيل مريح تلا أدى يا صاحي كي تستريح وبوس الدعاء الخفي الصريح يسعك الفضاء الرحيم الفسيح سبيل الدموع سبيل مريح تلا هدايا صاحي كي تستريح وبوس الدعاء الخفي الصريح يسعك الفضاء الرحيم الفسيح فبالله كم تستطب القروح ويبرأ جروح الكسير الجريح وينشط ذاك السقيم العليم وقد كان به